Got a new series, just in case you don't know what it is. Catch the Wave. Catch the Wave. All right? Over the next 6 weeks, I'm going to challenge you to get on top of some life-changing principles that'll send you on the ride of your life over the next 6 weeks. Okay? If you can be here for the next 6 weeks. The beautiful thing is, every one of them are standalone. They don't necessarily connect. So if you can't be here, if you're on vacation, I understand that. But boy, if you can get yourself here, these are some life-changing principles that can change your life. The way that I came up with the idea and where we're headed is people that I know that there's a verse or something they've grabbed a hold of it and they have lived that thing. They have loved that thing. For example, I've said it before, my mother, her life verse was Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I never forget the day Mama brought, now my mother was a drunk before she became a Christian. And I never forget the day that, I mean, she got saved and her life was changed. And it wasn't long after I saw that verse on a 3x5 card. It made its way on the refrigerator. And then I walked into the living room and it was under the glass on the coffee table. All things work together for good. And my mother, many of you know the story, how she lived a life with an abusive husband, my stepdad, who later took a .357 Magnum and shot her 6 times and killed her. She lived in unbelievable torture most of us didn't even know about. But she had that faith that God was going to take care of her. Amen? And that all things are going to work together for good. And you might think, well, it didn't, man. Hey, what are you talking about? My mother lived. She lived a life of faith. My mother had a smile on her face. She touched lives. She changed people's lives. And it was that verse that impacted her life. That's what I want to do in this series. I want to talk about things like that that can change your life. Are y'all with me so far? Okay. By the way, I've been swimming in a pool over the last 2 weeks out in Colorado. And I got water in one ear and I can't hear anything. Amen? Don't you hate it when it gets like that? Especially as a singer or whatever. So you know, that's how I am this morning. So if I look weird, that's what's happening. I can't hear anything. Here we go. I want you this morning to catch the wave. Can you say that with me? Catch the wave. Here we go. Let's move on with the message this morning. I'm excited about it. Today we're going for the biggest wave of all. Listen, we're not going to start out like they do in surf school. In surf school, they take you on a little baby wave. Here, little baby, we're doing it all backwards. We're going for the big granddaddy of them all right off the bat this morning. Amen? The biggest wave of all is what we're going for. It's called the wave of faith. Can you say that with me? The big wave of faith. One more time. The big wave of faith. That's where we're going today. That's the big, gigantic thing in the Scripture. And you're going to see it today. We're going to break it down. And part of this series is every Sunday, you're going to learn a Bible verse, a life-changing Bible verse. You're going to have to nearly be just something if you can't memorize a Scripture with me, because I'm going to bang it in your head over the next 6 weeks. Here's one today. It's coming up in a little bit, and we'll look at it. To start our message today, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Can you say that verse with me? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That ain't the verse we memorize, but that's a good one. Amen? Faith. That's the gigantic way we want to talk about it today. It's going to make sense in a little bit. Let's keep moving, Ron. Others had faith. A lot of other people have had faith. So if you're here today and say, I can't have faith, that is ignorant. We can have faith. You've got to have faith. Others have had faith. Let's look at what the Bible says. Real fast in Hebrews chapter 11. Abel had it. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. I'm not going to tell you all the stories of all these people. Find out yourself. They're in the Scriptures. Abel had faith. Enoch had faith. By faith, Enoch was translated that he shouldn't die. And he was found because God translated him before his translation. He had this testimony that he what? Pleased God. He believed in God. I mean, look, if folks from the old school can believe, you can believe. You got no excuse to believe in God. You're going to believe. You can do it. Noah had faith. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not yet seen. Man, it hadn't even rained. God said, build a boat. God hadn't told you to do that, has he, say? You ain't got as hard as he had. Noah had faith. He moved with fear. He prepared an ark. Keep looking. Abraham had faith. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, he obeyed. Look at this part. Say it with me. And he went out doing what? Not knowing what. Where he went? I can't. Yes, you can have faith. Others have had faith. We have a tradition, a tremendous heritage just laid down for us of people who've had faith, who believed in God. Sarah had faith. You probably ain't had to do what this woman had to do. Look at it. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was what? A real old woman. Because she was judged faithful. She judged him faithful who had promised. Others have had faith in the past. You and I need to have faith. Isaac had faith. He blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And those two boys both had trouble. Joseph had faith. Man, he died in Egypt. But you know what? He told them he had faith to believe in the promised land. When he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. And he gave commandments concerning my bones. He said, don't leave my bones over here. There's a promised land. Get my bones, boys. He had faith. Are y'all with me so far? Am I driving you up the wall? Let's keep looking. Moses had faith. Look, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's home. But when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt, of Pharaoh's home, of sin for a season. Moses had faith, and he led the people out of Egypt. Rahab the harlot had faith, just in case you think you don't qualify. Amen? This is a prostitute. If she had faith, you can have faith. Can you say that? If she had faith, you can have faith. Amen? By faith, the harlot Rahab, she didn't perish with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. You can believe today. You got to get to that place. And that's my goal for you in this message this morning. A lot of others had it. You can find all this in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Just keep looking, watching with me. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, they waxed valiant in fight, they turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better, hallelujah, resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not what? Say it with me. Worthy. Bill, I got to have your help today. Here we go. Of whom the world was not what? Worthy! They wandered in deserts and mountains. They wandered in dens and caves of the earth. Let me tell you something. God's not going to feel sorry for you if you don't believe in Him. Are y'all listening or not? Say. You might have whined your way all the way here. But God's not going to feel sorry for you. He gave His Son Jesus. He died on the cross for you. Are y'all listening? Without faith, you're not going to please Him. Let me tell you something. Put up the verse, Raj. Wherefore, seeing we also we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all these that we just read on the screen, people like my mother who stared down the barrel of a .357 Magnum, and I believe her last words were to my stepdad, you can't threaten me with heaven. You know, we don't, there's no way out of this, friend. We've got to have faith. God's not pleased when we don't believe in Him. There's a whole cloud of witnesses that's gone on before us. And we need to lay aside every weight, whatever it is that's keeping us from having faith, we got to let it go. The sin that just so easily beset us, the things that we're doing, that we're entertaining because we just like it. And we don't want to follow God, we got to let that go. We got to run the race with patience, that race that's set before us. Faith. Now I know I've got you going crazy already this morning, but the goal is this morning, the big wave of faith. Roger, will you pop it up and let's go. Let's see what we got. What did all these folks have? What did all these people I just read about have? Say it with me. Faith. They all had faith. They all had faith. That's what I need to have. That's what I want you to get. And it'll change your life. This might sound boring so far, but it ain't. We're getting there. What is faith? Say it with me. It's a total confidence and trust in God. Say it two or three times. Faith is a total confidence and trust in God. What is faith? It's a total confidence and trust in God. That's what faith is. I'm not talking about some little lay me down to sleep kind of prayer kind of faith. I'm talking about the real deal. I'm talking about God, if you said it in your word, I believe it. If you said it in your word, I believe it. Period.
care what anybody else thinks. Are you there? Most people aren't. That's a big wave, man. You see how that thing swallowed that boy up? It looked like he was history, that little video. But he came out fine, didn't he? The devil wants to eat your lunch. But I tell you one thing that'll quench that fiery dart of the devil, my friend, that is faith. You got to have faith. That's what we're talking about today. Catch the wave of faith. Let's move forward. Now here's our big wave verse. Every Sunday we're going to have a big wave verse, and this is it right here. So I need y'all to sit up. You got to get it. Here we go. The big wave verse is coming at you right now. You might wonder, who is this person that I know that this verse changed their life? Because every week, one of these verses either changed a person's life in my life, or it's just impacted their lives tremendously. It ain't even funny. And the person this week that this verse changed their life was my wife. Okay? You might think a girl growing up in a pastor's home don't need no life-changing verses, does she say? She just grew up lily white. Everything's wonderful. That's not the way it is. When she and I got married, she was a good woman. She loved the Lord, had good parents, come from good home, all that kind of stuff. She took up with me. I'd been saved for only a few years and going to Bible school. But yet, man, my past had been one of a hell raiser and rough. And our marriage started out and it looked good at first, but then it turned ugly. Anybody can relate, say. Y'all don't want to relate, do you? You're going to leave me up here by myself. But let me tell you something. That verse right there has changed my wife's life. Let's read it together. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Joy believes. She taught me early on, even though we didn't have two dimes to rub together, she taught me early on that we need to tithe. Why? Because God said so. If we do what God says, He will bless us, Gary. He'll reward us. Did y'all hear me or not? Say. She taught old hardhead that. I didn't believe it. And I'm the guy going to be the preacher. It's insanity. That verse changed her life. At times when it looked like early on we weren't going to make it in our marriage, it was my wife that said and believed in her heart, if we do what's right, we hang in there, God, You're going to bless us. Y'all listening or not, say. This might not mean nothing to some of you. I don't know. Boy, you get in trouble and you start having hard times and you ever get in your heart and your mind that you can believe God and He'll take care of you, it'll change your life. Are y'all listening? And so this verse, ask her about it sometime, how this verse has helped her and how it's changed her life. Let's go over it again. Let's get it down this morning. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We're going to have to hear more of you one more time. Come on. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For we must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. This verse right here can change your life. If you'll listen for the next 15 minutes, it changed your life. How many would like to have their life changed this morning? Say, have your life changed this morning. I don't care if you've gone to church your whole life. Church is full of people today that don't have faith. Oh, I believe in Jesus. But any little thing comes along, whine like a baby. Won't tithe. I can't afford to do. I can't do this. I can't do this. Marriage gets tough. You quit, you leave. That's insanity. God wants His people to be strong. He gets more glory out of rough situations than He does anything. Amen? When it's tough, when it's ugly, when it's hard, and we make it by the grace of God, He gets all the credit because we know we're pitiful. Amen? That's the point. God wants to help you today. So if you're with me, let's go. Come on. Let's break it down. We're going to break this verse down. We're just going to keep moving. Here we go. Let's look at the first part. Now this part's easy. This is real easy. This is country talk. Without faith. That's the first part. What's that mean? Say it with me. You dead in the water. Without faith, you dead. Well, I'll work my way to heaven. When I'm a good person, you just deader than a hammer. You ain't got a dog's chance. You can't fight the devil, and quite frankly, if that's your belief, you're going to hell. Look at me. Yeah, look at you. I don't want to follow you. Without faith, Say it with me again. You are what? Dead in the water. It's funny. We'll tell God stuff. You know, how it is. How we going to believe. How we think if we do this, we do that. That's going to get us to heaven, get our sins forgiven. But you know what? If you went to Hawaii and you looked at one of them big gigantic waves and that old boy on shore, the teacher, was telling you how to do it and you had to go do it, I guarantee you'd keep your mouth shut and you'd listen, wouldn't you say? I ain't going out on that big way without knowing what I'm supposed to do, but we'll tell God how it is. God don't want to hear from you how it is. God wants to hear from you like Jimmy said, I say yes to you. Amen? That's what God wants to hear. So without faith, you're what? Dead in the water. That's the first part of that verse. Let's look at the next part. It is impossible. What does that mean? You ain't got a dog's chance. Y'all understanding the Bible verse so far? Without faith means what? You're dead in the water. If you don't have a total trust and confidence in God, it's just a matter of time your lunch is going to get ate. Number two, it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible. What does that mean? I don't have a dog's chance with God. He could care less about us or what we think. It's His way or it is the highway. Y'all listening say, that's ugly preaching, ain't it? All the way from Colorado. I wrote this on the mountain. I'm telling you. Look at number three. To please God. So here's the verse. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What does that mean? It means this. Without faith, you have zero connection to God. Say zero connection with me. Zero connection. I thought if I went to church, I thought if I put my name on a membership roll, I thought if mama went, I thought if I had me some Sunday school pens. If you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, you have zero connection to God. Is that pretty understandable to everybody this morning? Say. We don't come here at fellowship and set up everything and do what we do just so we can say, we had church. We come here to get people to connect with Jesus Christ. That's why we are here today. Amen? Y'all listening? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So without faith, I'm dead in the water. Without faith, I ain't got a dog's chance. And without faith, I have zero connection to God. So this must be the big wave. Amen? Forget all things working out for good. If you don't have this, you're in bad shape. You need faith. So let's keep looking further at this verse. And by the way, you got to lose this idea. You got to lose this idea in your mind as a Christian. That, Lord, if you'll do this for me, then I'll believe in you. How many have ever said that, just been dumb and said it? Come on, come on, come on. Dumb. I've done it. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll believe in you. What do you want me to do more than send my son, have him crucified, murdered? Say. So if I pay your water bill, you're going to believe in me. Oh, okay. Do you see how stupid that is? Say. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay? So you got to lose that idea. Stop saying it. Instead of wasting your time saying stuff like that, why don't you pick up the Bible and read the Word of God, memorize the Scripture, hide it in your heart, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. That's how you get it. Not just saying dumb little things. Lord, if you do this, I'll believe in you. We got to quit thinking that we can just make God do stuff like that. That's dumb. You'll see it on Christian TV. Oh, if you do this, if you sin for this, I'll give you this. If you rub it, hold it. Yeah, buddy. Ignorant. Y'all listening? I don't care if you believe in that stuff or not. If you do, you're nuts. Believe the Bible. Believe the Word of God. Believe what He says. Believe in His Son, Jesus. Instead of trying to make something there that ain't there. That's why the world thinks we're crazy. Y'all know that, don't you? I want them to think we're crazy because we believe in Jesus, not because we believe in nutty myths. We're on a roll. I can feel it. Here we go. Say that with me. God doesn't need me. I need Him. Would you say that again? God doesn't need me. I need Him. Do you see how that could change your life? Say, if you start thinking that way, Instead of church being something you just check off, you do every week. We come here because He doesn't need me. I need Him. Amen. That's why I'm here, man. I need Him. That's why I try to put my heart into the message. Why? I'm passionate about it. I could find a lot easier way to make a living than doing this. But this is God's purpose for my life, to share with you people. And your goal should be to come because you need Him. Amen? That's faith. God doesn't need my 50 cent, my $100, my $1 million. He can handle it. All right. Amen? Did the Church of Jesus Christ do all right before we ever got on the scene? Yes or no? He doesn't need us. We need Him. Think about it. For he that comes to God must believe. That's that next part. So let's look at our verse. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe. Would you say that with me? For he that comes to God must believe. You can't come to God if you don't believe. I want it my way. This is what I think. He could care less. He doesn't need you. You need Him. Got it? For if you're going to come to God, you got to believe. What's that mean? Keep looking. You must believe in Him. Keep popping them. You must believe in Him. You must have total confidence in Him. That's why so many people make decisions. They come to Christ. I'm a Christian. And then you never see them again. They fade away. Their life isn't changed. Having faith is not just saying, I believe in Jesus. Having faith is having a total confidence and trust that Jesus Christ is who the Bible says He is. Y'all with me? He's the Son of the living God, but people will think I'm crazy. Who could care less? I don't care. I'm banking it on Him. I'm putting everything in that basket right there, the Jesus basket. Amen? Total confidence. But what about Buddha? Well, you can have him. What about Mohammed? Going after him. I'm going to take it all right there and I'm banking it on Jesus Christ. You don't think I'm crazy? Fine. That's what a total confidence and trust in. You must believe in Him. Keep looking. You got to have a total trust in Him. And it's not just for salvation. This is what my wife learned. Growing up in a Christian home, she accepted Jesus early. But it was probably in her mid-20s. Maybe 30. Where she started to learn to have a total trust and confidence in the Lord. Is that right, baby? Say. Come on. Here we go. Let's keep looking. So what must we believe? So without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe. We must believe what? What must I believe? Preacher, here we go. Pop it up. Say that with me. That He is. How many feel like you're in a fifth grade Sunday school class, a third grade Sunday school class with Uncle Gary this morning? Amen? It's funny, the church has missed this. That's why we struggle in our life. We must believe that He is. We must believe that God is. What does that mean? Pop it up. That He is. What is that? First of all, that God is real. Can you say that with me? God is real. See, faith is realizing God is real. You can't keep doubting that. Well, is there a God? Well, I don't know if there's a God. I believe God. I don't know if there's a God. You got to get that settled. And don't think He's going to come down and visit you. He ain't. He gives you the Word so that you can have faith. That's how you have faith in the Word. Well, if I get struck by lightning, well, if you'd like, we'll pray that you get struck by lightning then. Sure is a lot easier to believe the book. Amen? We must believe that God is real. Look at it. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Friend, I just feel sorry for you. If you go outside at night and you look into that dark blue sky and you see those stars, the ones you can see, and just imagine there's so many more that you can't see. But somehow you think, oh, there's no God. The Bible says the firmament, the heavens declare the glory of God. You can believe in God. Y'all listening? You can believe that He's real. And you might think this is elementary. It's good for us to go back over this. God really does exist. I could care less what your science teacher tells you. Who are you going to believe? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God, not listening to somebody that's telling you something that they've been taught. Okay? There really is a God. God really exists. There is a God. You've got to get there, and you've got to believe that. The second thing, we've got to believe that He is, and that is that God is Creator. Can you say that with me? God is Creator. A lot of people have no problem with saying, oh, I believe in God, but I believe in evolution. I believe in God, but I don't believe in what the Bible says about creation. Well, that's not going to fly with God. And it wouldn't fly with me either. If you worked for me, and I told you to do something, and this is what we're supposed to do, and this is the plan, this is how we're going to do the plan, and you said, no, this is the plan over here, I'm going to do this plan over here, you'd be finding yourself another job after a while. Because this is the way we're going to do it. Amen? Say. Unless this is the wrong way, but if it's the right way, that's the way we're going to do it. And that's the way it is with God. He is Creator. Look at this. The first verse in the Bible. Say it with me. In the beginning, God did what? The heavens and the earth. How can you expect to please God if right out of the gate, the first thing He says, you go, you're a liar. Say, I don't believe that. When Darwinism came out, what? Mid 1800s, late 1800s. It got a lot of steam. The church started turning tail and running. Great theologians and scholars started finding, they started finding their faith not being solid. They started creating whole different theories and gaps and things like that. You know what I've done? Here's what I do. You do what you want to do. Here's what I do. I believe the Bible. Okay? People already think I'm crazy anyway. I believe the Bible. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. Are y'all with me? Say. Let me tell you something else I believe. Here's me. Here's what I believe. I don't believe in an earth. And you might not like me after that. I care less. Listen, I don't believe in an earth that's billions of years old. I don't. I believe in a young earth. I think the Scripture supports a belief in a young earth. Nowadays on television, I've been watching some political shows and asking candidates now about what they believe about creation and stuff. That's sort of weird that they're doing that now, but they're doing that. But they're making candidates and politicians feel like absolute idiots if you believe the Bible account of creation. Well, you know what? Then I'm an idiot. Are y'all listening? Say. I'd rather be an idiot for Jesus Christ. Okay? That's who I am. Maybe one will clap. I'm one idiot. Amen. We're two together. Amen? Listen. I'm talking about, this is huge. We must believe that God is, that He's real, that He's Creator. How can I argue with Him out of the gate? Look at Hebrews, this great passage on faith. Right in the beginning, He puts a verse about creation. Look at it. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? Say it with me. The Word of God. Does the Bible say something like this? And the Lord said, let there be light. And there was what? You know what I believe? I believe the Lord said, let there be light. And there was light. And even in this audience today here at a church, I'm sure I just separated myself from some of you. But that's what the Bible teaches. I believe the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God spoke things into existence. I believe that. I don't see what the big deal about believing that is. I have zero problem doing it. See, because I put my belief in that Jesus basket. And maybe that's crazy. Maybe some of you just crazy, you narrow-minded. Well, didn't Jesus say narrow was the way? Say. He said, broad is the way to what? Destruction. So, I'm going to keep doing that. I'd like to get a few of you to come on and catch this wave with me. Look at what Romans says. 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, how are we supposed to live? The just shall live by what? Faith. I must have a total confidence and trust in God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, against unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Keep looking. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, they're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Say that last part with me. So that they are without what? That's why I told you early on. If you don't believe, God's not going to pat you on the head and say, well, that's okay. You come on in because you look nice. You came from a good family. You went to church. You put a dollar in the offering plate. He ain't going to do that. We're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their what? I think that's where a lot of people are today. And their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became what? No, I don't believe in God's Word. I believe I came from a big bang and a big explosion. Everything that happens now is because everything blew up one day and here he is. That's idiotic as far as I'm concerned. I'd much rather believe the Bible. You know, your ancestors were a monkey. I'm sorry. You came from a little primordial soup, some slime. You climbed up a tree, began to walk one day, all right, dude? I don't believe it. It's my choice. If you believe that, have at it. But don't call that faith. Well, it is a faith, but it's a faith in something other than God's Word. God is Creator. I must believe that He is. You know something? I don't believe Kevin. You might wonder, who in the world is Kevin? Well, I met Kevin on my trip. I went to Glenwood Springs. How many have ever been to Glenwood Springs? There you go, yay! How many have ever been to caves of Glenwood? The Glenwood Caverns? How many have ever been in big caves and stuff and seen them spiky things hanging down and all that stuff? Yeah! Well, anyway, we're up there on top of this high mountain, which we had to take this big old chairlift to get up there. We got up in there, and we had our tour guide. His name was Kevin. He looked about like that. I couldn't get a real picture of Kevin, but is that pretty close? That's pretty close. Anyway, did the best I could. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, Kevin's about 19 years old. Maybe 20. Kevin's a nice boy. I like Kevin. Kevin can't hardly talk good English. And he grew up here. He's American and everything, but I can't even hardly understand what he's saying. I bet he had the same problem with me. Amen? But anyway, but you know what Kevin told me on top of the mountain, inside the cave? Kevin basically told me, God didn't do this. Okay? Colorado River did this. Over billions of years, this is how this happened. And you see these spiky things like that? Takes millions of years to grow one of them. Don't touch one. You kill it. Man, if I had something like that with a cave with stuff in it millions of years old, I wouldn't let nobody in my cave. I'd be scared to death they're going to touch it. But anyway, the fact of the matter is Kevin just told me, God didn't do this, and I'm just listening, but this just happened by chance. The Colorado River over millions and millions and millions of years, this is the way it happened. I went to Grand Canyon. Same thing happened. They tell me that. You know what I've decided? Let me say it with me. Would you just say it with me? I don't believe Kevin. Could y'all say that? I don't believe Kevin. I mean, don't you think about what you believe. Who taught you what you believe? Did you get it from the Bible or did you get it from Kevin? I tell you what, when it comes to my soul being saved, my family staying together, my marriage making it, my prayers being answered, I don't believe Kevin. I'm going to go for God. Amen? I'm going to ride that big wave. I'm going to ride that wave right there, that wave of God's Word, and I'm going to believe God. I ain't believing Kevin. I hope if y'all don't get anything else today, I hope you go out around this week going, do I believe Kevin or don't believe Kevin? Who do you believe? You know what? I just think it's amazing that in the Bible, 3,000-4,000 years ago, God had in His knowledge and insight to tell us about the flood, even though He knew it would be scoffed at. But I tell you what, I've been out to Grand Canyon. I've toured Grand Canyon. I went on there as a guest of helping them with the worship and everything with a paleontologist. And I tell you what the paleontologist said that I was with, according to the Scriptures, makes a whole lot more sense than what Kevin was telling me. I believe in the flood. Do you know your pastor believed in the flood? Say, I believed in Noah. Yeah, I do. I just do, man. I'm riding that wave. Where are you at? Are you going to keep coming to church? Are you going to keep acting like your prayers are getting answered when basically you're calling God a liar? Because His Word says, does His Word talk about Noah and the flood? Yes or no? Well, no, that's just a metaphor. It's not a metaphor. The toughest things that you see in the Scripture, Jonah, the hardest things to believe, Jesus confirmed them when He was on this earth and He actually spoke of them and said they happened. You can't have it both ways. You believe Kevin? I don't believe Kevin. God is Creator. By the way, I'm getting off and we're going to get out of time here for long, but I do want to tell you this. I was watching the History Channel. And for years, people said there was no Garden of Eden. Does the Bible say there was a Garden of Eden? Yes or no? Okay. But for years, people said there's no Garden of Eden. There's no Garden of Eden because of this. Because they say in the Garden of Eden, four rivers flowed out of the Garden of Eden. The Euphrates, the Tigris, the Pison, and the Gihon. Well, there's only one problem with that. When you go look at archaeology, there's only two rivers that flow. The Euphrates and the Tigris. So the Bible's lying. Bible isn't true. Can't trust it. Well, then a little thing called satellite technology came along where you can see the big picture from space. And guess what they're seeing from space? And this is 30 years old. They're seeing it a lot clearer now. There's two rivers that are fossilized that they can see that used to exist that I believe were changed with the flood. But they're there from satellite imagery. And guess what those two rivers are? Somebody tell me. The Gihon and the Pison. So who are you going to believe? You going to believe Kevin? Say. I love Kevin up here. And I actually love the boy that I was talking to. But I believe God. Are you going to bank it there or not? He's Creator. And I got to finish. God is holy. This is huge. So we got to believe that God is. We got to believe that He really exists, that He's Creator. His Word is true, what He tells us. We also need to believe that God is holy. Can you say that with me? God is pure. Pop it up, Raj. God is right. And say this last part. God's always right. Do you believe that or not? Oh no, He made all kinds of mistakes in the Word. Men wrote it. You can't believe it. I cannot be a pastor and live my life like that. I cannot teach on a Sunday morning questioning everything I read in that book. Does that make any sense to some of you? I can't get on my face and cry. I can't help a lady yesterday who lost her husband, who passed away. I can't do all that doubting the book that I believe has got all kinds of errors and things wrong in it. I've just banked it all, friend, I'm telling you. I've caught this wave and I'm on the wave now. I'm on the wave and I ain't getting off. If it means I have to get off the wave, it means I quit the ministry. Because if I have to get up here and I can't believe what I say, I'm done. I'm toast. I'm history. I'm out of here. Even though it's hard preaching, I hope that makes sense to you today. That's how I'd raise my kids if I was you. God's pure. God's right. God's always right. He's holy. What does that mean? Let's look at a couple of things. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. When I trust in Him, it's good for me. Say that with me. Thou shalt means what? I will. What's this one? Thou shalt not means what? Do you think your life, your family, our town, our country would be a better country if we did that? Yes or no? Thou shalt, yes sir. Thou shalt not. I won't then. Isn't that a great way to live life? And you live that by faith, believing that He's holy, He's pure, He's right, He's always right. Change your life. God is so far beyond us. Would you say that with me? God is so far beyond us. He's got to laugh. The Bible says that He's in the heavens and He does laugh. He is so far beyond us, yet we just order Him around. We just tell Him, I believe in you if you do this. We just tell Him the way it was about the monkey and the amoeba and all that kind of good stuff. We tell Him stuff like that. God is so far beyond us. Do you know that or not? Say. Watch it. That's why Jesus came to connect us to God. He is so far beyond us. He didn't need us. We need Him. That's why Jesus Christ came. Because He's so far beyond us. And we believe that by faith that Jesus Christ came. Here's what the Word of God says. God commends His love toward us and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're sinners and He's coming to us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Say it with me. That whosoever what? Believes. In Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't do that. But that we could be saved. That's why He came. Verse 18, He that believes on Him is not condemned. But watch this part. He that believes what? Not is what? You don't have to do anything to be condemned. You're condemned already. It's by belief in Jesus Christ that causes you to not be condemned. Amen? We're sinners, we're condemned, man. But because of Jesus, we're not condemned. But you are condemned because you don't believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, we got to believe that He is. And then the verse finishes up this way, and He is a rewarder. God responds to our faith. God responds to our faith. It's a two-way street. That's the beautiful thing about faith. You might be thinking, Clark, you're a nut. You put all your eggs in a Jesus basket. Oh man, that basket's taken me places. Amen? Putting my faith in Jesus has saved my marriage. Did y'all hear me? Yes or no? It's strengthened our home. It's taught me how to be a daddy, believing in God's Word. Y'all listening? You know what? Putting everything in that Jesus basket, boy, I have been connected to God. I have my prayers answered. I don't always get everything I ask for because I still make mistakes and ask stupid stuff. But I have seen God. He has shown Himself real to me. It's a two-way street. God responds to our faith. He confirms our faith in positive and tangible. How many have ever had that happen? God responded to your faith in a positive and tangible way. Amen? I had a lady tell me something yesterday. It was crazy. I can't tell you about it. It's sort of a secret thing. She was hurting. She's suffering. She lost her husband. But in her hour of darkness, she prayed for something. And it might seem strange to us, but it happened. And that helped her. I believe in that. Amen? I believe in answered prayer. I believe God does it. Call me a nut. I'm already a nut. That's fine. I'm in a Jesus basket. But I'm riding a wave. And I'm going to ride that wave all the way to heaven. That's a wave I'm on right there. I'd like to get you on it with me. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For we must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder to them who diligently seek Him. What's that mean? God wants to be found if you'll pursue Him. God wants to be found if you'll pursue Him. Some of you today, you might be at odds with me. You're just like, boy, you can't wait to get out of here. But you know what? I know there's some in here that want to pursue Him. Amen? And I'm excited about that. You need to pursue Him. What does that mean? As you would somebody you really love. When Joy and I started dating in college, I mean, I never was the romantic type. Can you imagine such a thing? But anyway, but all of a sudden I found myself talking on the telephone. Hey there, how you doing? Sweet thing. All right. I didn't talk like that. But anyway, I would write her letters. Did you know what I did? I drove all the way from Rockingham, North Carolina to Englewood, Florida to see her. Now, driving's not hard for people from Rockingham. We know NASCAR, baby. That's who we are. We're the big racetrack people. But we only know how to do this. For me to get on I-75 and drive all the way to a place I've never been before, I'd hardly ever left the state of North Carolina. But you know what? I was in pursuit, baby. And God says, if you'll pursue me like that, you'll find me. If you'll believe in me, you'll find me. The Bible says, I love them that love me. Those that seek me what? Early shall find me. You can find God, but you'll never find Him. You'll never please Him if you don't have faith in Him. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds. To him that knocks it shall be opened. What man is there of you, Jesus said, if his son asks him bread, are you going to give him a stone, a rock? Are you crazy? Or how about this? If he asks his dad for a fish, you going to give him a snake that's going to bite him on the nose? That's dumb, man. No father would do that. If you then, being evil, a sinner, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Do you believe like that? Do you have faith like that? Jesus, last verse, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, say it with me, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Gary Clark has not had it too rough putting my eggs all in Jesus' basket. Amen? This has been a great life, believing in Jesus Christ. I'll take this life over deliverance from the hellhole I grew up in Rockingham, North Carolina, any day of the week. Jesus said in His Word, an old preacher said, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll come, I'll open up your door, I'll come in and sup with you and you with me. And I'll love you. And that's what I heard at that old church. And Mama heard it. And we received it. And my life's been forever changed, friend. Are y'all listening? You may have been hurt. You may have been this. You may have been that. He didn't do it. God loves you. Put your faith in Him. Catch the big wave of faith. Let's say that verse this morning. How many got it memorized? Let's go. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.